Hello, welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. This is the after New Year's special. I recorded one on New Year's Eve, and then some shit happened on New Year's that was just pretty much devastating to the family. On New Year's Eve, I passed out, I think, around, man, it was like 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Fell asleep. I woke up after midnight, which was like 12:30. Barb had said, "Hey, you got a text from your cousin. Happy New Year's." And so that's cool. And she wished him a Happy New Year's back. And then on the first, Barb was reading Facebook, and I'm guilty of not reading all the posts on Facebook. I pretty much go there. I post my comics. I go there to look at Aaron Meyer's sales and see if there's anything that catches my eye. And then I also check on family posts if they show up in my timeline. And then I'm out. I spend more time on Twitter using my list feature. But there was a post from my uncle, and he's like, "My son is on life support." And at that point, you're like, what the fuck? What the fuck happened? So, you swallow and you're like, that's not right. What, life support? That means if they unplug him, that he's going to die. And you're like, what the fuck? I just saw him. I just saw posts of them on New Year's with his family because his family is really close. And I got to spend Thanksgiving with them, but I didn't get to spend New Year's Eve because I was exhausted after spending the day with Barb's family, and I regret not going over now that I know he's dead. He was a very good cousin. When he was very, very young, I introduced him to comics. And till he died, he was always interested in superheroes in the comics, and he even had tattoos of the Joker, Brian Boland image, all kinds of different tattoos, and he was very much into the culture. We were just talking about the Joker movie at Hollow, at Thanksgiving. And I thought it was a masterpiece, and he didn't like it as much because he told me at that time that to him, the Joker always had this sort of confidence about him, and that movie didn't show it. He said it was acted so well, and my argument was, well, it was a build up to that confidence because at the end of the movie, you have that confidence. He has that confidence and that craziness. Once he saw that he sort of became almost like an iconic god at the end of the movie. But, we talked about it because Joker was is a big part of his, favorite characters. Another character that my cousin loved was Michael Myers from the Halloween movies. But now, now he's dead. And we'll never get to have those discussions again. And we always did during the holidays. And my cousin was there even when my dad was in the hospital. And he was like, "Mike, if you need anything, I'll be here for you." And he came over, and he's always had like health problems of his own, but he was there. And we still don't know what he died of. Like, was it a heart attack? Was some kind of blood clot or something, or related to the condition that he had? But it was rough, and sometimes you need to just talk it out, and that's what I'm doing. We shared a lot of pop culture discussions, and his brother Angelo, is devastated that, Marcos isn't around, and his son Augie, and his daughters that he weren't his biological daughters, but he adopted them when he got married again. And his ex-wife and his wife and his mom and dad, who I love very much, they were a very, very close family. And a lot of times they kept some of their pain, things that happened internally. You can't really say, hey, things will get better when you lose your firstborn child at age 41, I believe his age was, on New Year's. So that's going to be devastating, like for the family. All the holidays, you're going to be thinking about. He didn't technically die until the second, but he was on life support on the first. And he was fine up until after midnight because we got the text. And then you start to think all this weird shit, like, did he know something? Like, he had texted. There wasn't just like a global text. It was like a text, to Barb and me saying, I love you guys and tell Mike for me. And same to my brother. And they were personalized texts. Did he know he was going to pass? I don't know. It's hard. And I still can't think of my Aunt Jet and Uncle Chris because Marcos was such a big part of their lives, And Angelo pretty much broke his hand, punching a wall. I don't know. They always say in Catholics and Christianity, well, God works in strange ways. And I've never been real religious, but how does this shit happen, I don't know. And next week I'll probably be going to his funeral. And you'll probably not hear this until it's after that, because I still have like 3 episodes of stuff to release. But I just wanted to say that I loved my cousin, and he left way too early. Life sucks. You can't really plan, like. You can plan, but you never know when it's going to take you. But you got to really do your wills early when you get established in life and do stuff because you never know. You never know what kind of shit and cards will be dealt to you in this life. And I don't know. My aunt and uncle have had some tough times. With health and all kinds of stuff, and then to lose their boy. I know he was happily married, he loved his kids more than life itself, and he didn't deserve to die. Maybe some people believe that, hey, there is life after death. I know that my cousin talked about Buddhism a little bit. And he found peace in it. And everybody chooses their own religion, even though he came from a hardcore Catholic background. Which I don't know. It's a very tough thing to deal with. But it was a shock to start the new year with the loss of family. And I'm sorry I get emotional, but this is a diary for me. This is a diary. I walk around in just stream of consciousness. But yeah, life's a bitch. And every time shit like this happens, it messes with my, I don't know what I could say, like happiness, like the things are better and this optimistic view of everything and I gotta buy more comics and blah 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 blah. Once I start thinking death, it freaks my shit. It really does. It freaks my shit. I'm old, but I'm not ready to deal with death in any kind of form. I'm very emotional, and it sucks. I'm not a strong dude. I'm a strong person. I'm strong-willed, and I'm very motivated to get tasks done and get things done. But when it comes to breaking me, my weakness is my emotion. Because when I love somebody, I love them. I really do. But anyway, I gotta switch gears a little bit, and I'm going to talk about two packages that came in the mail while I was gone. Before I went on Christmas holiday, I was in discussion with Dennis from The Best of the Rest, and he sent me some pictures of comics I would be interested in, and he was gonna sell them to me real cheap, 'cause I guess what Dennis does is he buys like these bundles, and he buys them for cheap, and then it sounds like he's only interested in like 25%, but he buys them for so cheap that he's like, well, I'll maybe try these books out, but I'm not interested in them, so I'll get rid of them. And I've talked to him, and I said, I'm a guy that's interested in the shit that nobody wants because it needs a home. And he sent me a lot of fun books. He sent me a Marvel Crypts of Shadows number 20. This is an interesting cover because it's a dude like hitting on a chick, and there's this green creature in the back. And he says, "Take it easy, Janet. There's no need to worry. We'll find Bill, no matter what's happened to him. And maybe Bill is the monster that walks among us." That's a great cover. And then this one I already had, but I just wanted to say I wanted the whole bundle because it's easier that way. Marvel Chiller's Mordred the Mystic. It's his first appearance in. I've heard rumors about him being in either Scarlet Witch or Doctor Strange, but who knows? It's my second copy. These two I didn't have. Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos. This is sort of a VG copy, but it's a nice reading copy. Dick Ayers cover. I really like the cover because I like the floating heads, and it has the Howling Commandos and Sergeant Rock on the cover. And it says, "Dum Dum does it the hard way. Come on, you lousy bums, come and get me. If Dum Dum Dugan's gonna die, he's gonna take a whole blamed battleship with him." Really cool, 'cause they're like in a raft. These comics have an interesting smell to them too. They smell great. It's like a weird incense smell. So I don't know if Dennis burns incense or if the person that had them before does, but it smells like that. Like if you go into a place like Manitou Springs or some of those places, they have like these incense shops. This is what it smells like. It's a good smelling incense. 132 I've read before, but I don't have, and it's Sergeant Fury and his commandos basically with their hands up surrendering to the Nazis. One thing I never cared about with the Howling Commandos is they never drew them as well, in my opinion, even though they had some great artists, Kirby and all kinds of stuff, like Sergeant Rock. I don't know, it just seemed like to have a more militaristic look to it, if it makes any sense, and costuming and stuff. I don't know. Now let me know what you think. We have Tomb of Darkness number 17, Into the Jaws of Death, Fear as You Like It. It has a guy being swallowed by a crocodile. A Vault of Horror number 21. Really beautiful cover. I love this cover. This guy looks like a Jekyll and Hyde, and he's saying, "Valtor belongs to the night and the darkness. Now you belong to Valtor." And he looks like he's going after a girl. We have Vault of Evil number 22. That was Vault of Evil, not Vault of Horror. Vault of Evil from Marvel Comics. Really nice 70s look cover. We have Uncanny Tales from the Grave. This is a really nice cover as well. It has some ghosts holding this beautiful girl. Vengeance is not just for the living, the dead don't sleep. Very cool. That was number 11. Weird Wonder Tales. I had bought a few of these, I don't know, about 10 years back because they had Jack Kirby work in them. This one doesn't have it, but it's really good comic. It looks like he's gonna get ambushed by a bunch of vampires in Shangri-La. On the road to Shangri-La. I was trying to see who the creative team was on here, but this might be a reprint, or usually they're on the front page. Maybe it's a reprint that didn't have the names. The art style, yeah, it says originally presented in Tales of Suspense number 3. We have Sad Sack Laugh Special number 85. I think this is my fifth Sad Sack I bought this year. I'd like to read this and compare it with Beetle Bailey, just out of curiosity. We have Betty and Veronica number 218, but it's Archie's Girls, Betty and Veronica. That's the proper title. The guys are watching football, and then Betty and Veronica walk in their go-go outfits, and Veronica says, "It's our last resort, Betty. If hot pants won't tear the boys away from the game, nothing will." And this is the first time I've ever noticed in Archie Comics that it has a Fawcett emblem. And Fawcett is known for Captain Marvel comics and many other comics. And I wonder if there were a publisher arm for them or what. If you know, I'm really dying to know the history of why Fawcett is on this year. It says published by Close Up Inc. I just don't know what the Fawcett connection is. So if you know history of Archie Comics, let me know. I have Jughead, number 237, where he's like Jughead's mom is trying to wake him up, and it says the only way I can wake him up in the morning, and she's got like from the frying pan eggs and bacon, and she's using the fan to blow the smell over to his nose. And Hot Dog is on the floor. Ghost Castle is only 3 issues. This is the final issue. Has a woman entering a door and she says, "Evil spirit, leave this room, I command you." And it looks like she's using the Jedi Force. I'd be curious to buy the other two if they're affordable, just so I could have a full run of it. We have Ghost number 42. This one holds a special place in my heart because Ghost was the first comic book, a 20 center that I bought with my own money at a drugstore. It might have been a TGY or just a drugstore. I can't remember exactly. I don't remember if TGY or Ben Franklin. I can't remember where I got it, but this is a nice cover. This is number 42. We have G.I. Combat number 184, Kubert cover. They're fighting on the tank. "I can't hold this guy off any longer. How are you doing?" He says, "Fine, but the newborn baby and mother can't be moved." He's like trying to rescue him as fighter planes are coming down on him. Our Army at War 281 has Sergeant Rock dead on a donkey. They're bringing down the dead from the Battle of the Mountains. Look, that's Sergeant Rock. Sergeant Rock 285, and this one has Sergeant Rock pulling some guy out of a Jeep that looks like it went into the water. Sergeant Rock, Our Army at War, number 286. It has him on the top of a fighter plane. It looks like a World War I fighter plane. I don't know what's going on there. Interesting. The perspective of some of these covers are amazing. It has this one, 289, has Sergeant Rock. It looks like Bulldozer and Wild Man and Little Sure Shot walking through a town, and there's Nazis in one shooting out of a window. One of them looks like it hits Rock, and then in the foreground, there's one of those machine guns. And it looks like one pierces Sergeant Rock in the heart. I don't know. We have Our Army at War 290. This looks like it has Sergeant Rock and Bulldozer in the background. And maybe Ice Cream Soldier, just it's only a head that's in the background. But it says, "See Henry, he is one who could help us beat the Nazis. They're reading a Sergeant Rock comic." And the other guy says, "Stop dreaming, jocks. There is no such person as Sergeant Rock." You have 291, where Sergeant Rock is choking a Nazi in the snow. You can't even see the Nazi's face because it's buried in the snow. We have Our Fighting Forces featuring the Losers with the Jack Kirby cover, 152. Another Jack Kirby issue on 157. And these were ones that I needed too. This isn't a Jack Kirby issue, but it has the Losers, 167. And that takes us through Our Fighting Forces. I then got from Aaron Myers a Sally Forth, which is a Wally Wood comic from Eros. It is probably rated X, adults only. It's the only one that I have, and I was glad to pick it up. I picked up from the creator of Max, I Before E, Stories with Art by Sam Keith. I'm supposed to have a Max thing in there, and that's why I got it, because I'm fascinated with the Max. We have Gay Comics number 24. This has the Max. It's featuring the Max, and on the mat, he's saying, "Hey, what am I doing in the closet?" Get it? He's coming out of the closet. Also from Aaron Myers, I got Terminator: The Burning Earth. This is an important issue because it has Alex Ross' first work, interiors and cover, to my knowledge, from Now Comics. We have Thor 190, great cover with Odin standing over Thor and Hela, who looks like they're both dead. And so to die, as it says on the cover. And one of the things I was talking about recently is how Thor has become such a character that I adore. And I was thinking he's almost passing Captain America for me, because my first two characters are Daredevil, Black Panther's number two, and then Cap was number three. And Thor is almost switching with Cap, because I don't know if I've just read more or what, but I'm just starting to adore him. Supernatural Thrillers number three, The Valley of the Worm, adapted from Robert E. Howard. I was missing that. It's not a very good copy. Well, it's very good, actually. That's the grade I would give it. But what I literally meant, it's not a nice looking copy. Amazing Adventures, The Inhumans, and The Black Widow. I'm almost completed with this Amazing Adventures, Inhumans. There's other titles in there. It's where the Beast first appeared with the blue fur, and I have that one, but I would like to complete this run. It'd be pretty awesome. It's really volume three, but it's a 15-cent comic, so I think volume two was Marvel, and volume one was Atlas, like officially. And I'm getting thirsty. Sorry. We then get into some more Charlton that came from Dennis. We have War number five. I already had that issue, but it was part of the bundle. I just wanted to take them. War number four and War number three from Charlton. I bought these, I think, in 2019 from my comic shop, And I was just loving the fighter plane covers from this, and I think I bought 1 through 10. We have The Many Ghosts of Dr. Graves. I haven't read any of these, but I'm very interested. It's Charlton. It's an area I'm trying to grow in. 47, The Secret of the Collector. From this one's really special to me because it's the first I talked about on this episode how Kmart used to sell modern comics, which were reprints of the Charlton comics. Well, the magic of this cover is it has a woman, and it looks like she's being tied up and dragged through the sewers by like these brain monsters. And what makes this special is it has a Kmart price tag on it. And that means a lot to me because that's where I bought the modern comics from, is Kmart. We have The Ghosts of Dr. Graves, number 37, from Charlton. Ghosts of Dr. Graves, this is a modern comic reprint, so it's really the second printing of number 25. This one I remember buying because when modern comics came out, they didn't like print them out like, let's start with the number one, and they printed them out kind of like epic collections, like these are the best of the Charlton, so we're going to print them out. We have Korg 70,000 BC. It's my first Korg from Charlton. We have The House of Yang number 4. I want to read this so bad. Because I wanted to buy the whole series on my comic shop, but I want to read it and experience it first. So we then have Ghostly Haunts number 54 from Charlton. We have Ghostly Haunts number 47. Actually, two copies of them. One of them's a really nice copy. It has a woman. I like the way the layout is. He drew her really funky feet. But she's like in her bed coming out of slumber, and there's a monster crashing through the window. Really cool cover. I don't really care about the feet or that the hands are jacked up. Just such a cool layout. This looks like a Joe Staton cover. It's number 46. It looks like Jack the Ripper's coming across like this weird harlequin looking woman with a cape. Who knows? Ghostly Haunts number 37. This has a weird monster in ice, it looks like, and two women are running from it. One has a gun towards it. We have Fighting Marines number 126. Looks really good. It's poking at the art. I like it. It doesn't look like typical Charlton lettering or layouts. We have Baron Werewolf's Haunted Library. This has a surfer and a ghost surfer. Looking forward to reading that. Number 44. Number 31, which has a guy with a skull on it. Baron Wolf, Werewolf's Haunted Library, number 24. I like that one because it has like a demon chasing a girl. We have Boris Karloff's Tales of Mystery, and this is one that they didn't have. It's a gold key, you can't see the number. I wonder how you could grade this. It is almost incomplete. It is complete, but it has a tear in the bottom. And then if you open it up, it has a tear, but it doesn't break up the story. And then all the other pages are okay. It's just the cover and the. But it's Boris Karloff's Tales of Mystery number 61 from 1975. It has people on a mountain slide being attacked by a yeti, it looks like. We have It's Midnight Witching Hour number 61. and number 60, and also 59. So that's like three issues in a row. We have Weird Western Tales number 30 and 23, which are Jonah Hexes. I already had those. We had Weird War Tales. These ones I've really look forward to getting more of. And this is number 43. It looks like Death is playing chess with a bunch of Nazis and Americans. This cover I adore. Weird War Tales, number 42. It has a World War II American fighter plane. And then it looks like it has Nazi skeletons flying like a Red Baron plane. Really good layout on that one. Weird Mystery Tales, number 22, from DC Comics. We have Star Spangled War Stories featuring the Unknown Soldier. And I have quite a few of these, but I didn't have this issue. So that was a really good score. I'm trying to get a good run of Unknown Soldier. We have Secrets of Haunted House. This is the final issue. Those are usually hard to find. Number 46. We have number 45, Secrets of Haunted House. Number 41, with the Joe Kubert cover. And number 23. And that wraps up the books that I had. And I'll be right back with the weekly reads. And we'll talk to you in a bit. All right, we are back. And this is for week October 21st through October 27th. And that week I only read 16 comics. I probably took in 100 and only read 16. It's a damn shame. But we got Viz number 1. That was an important issue. Vault number 1. Or not number 1. Vault had 1. Viz had 1. Valiant had 1. T-Pub had 1. Source Point Press had 1. Scout had 1. Red 5 had 3. Marvel had 2, Image had 1, Dynamite had 3, and Dark Horse had 1. Good distribution of comics, though, in publications that week. Very diverse. It was probably a geek brunch week. I'm going to go see if my Windy soda has any ice water-flavored, what do you call it, Coke, because all that was left was ice. We're still having grocery shops since coming back from the holidays. So we're missing a lot of stuff. No sodas, believe it or not. But I went to Wendy's for lunch. So those were the totals. A 3 out of 5 was Vampirella number 3, the latest Vampirella series coming from Dynamite. Vampirella and her mom talk about history with their history with the psychiatrist. And there's some satanic nuns look to be coming after Vampirella. I rated that 3 out of 5, which means I liked it. We go into the 4 out of 5s, and there was a lot of them. We have Vampirella number 0, Free Comic Book Day. I realized I hadn't read this issue, which launched this series that I just talked about. I like this one a lot more. It was a crash on a plane leads Vampirella to the psychiatrist, so it explains why she's on the couch talking to the psychiatrist. Vampirella has two stalkers. One, these characters haven't come into play yet in the series either, so I'm looking to see if future issues have them. The two stalkers, and one is a huge girl and the other a sexy woman who thinks she's a vampire. Have not seen these two on Follow On Issues. I even put that note in there. We have Butcher Queen number 1. That is from Red 5. I wonder if they got that from Star Wars. Red 5 is Luke Skywalker. In the future, there is a huge terrorist act against aliens. And then an ex-cop is hired to rescue one of those aliens and has to confront a bunch of assassin robots. Really interesting premise, good execution, solid art. I give it a 4 out of 5, which means I really liked it. We have Bloodshot number 1. I gave it a 4 out of 5. Even though this is the weakest Bloodshot I've read in a while, the Tim Seeley one, As far as action, it's got a lot of action, in my opinion. So maybe they're shooting for this take for the blockbuster film that's coming up. But as far as substance, there's not a lot of, like, Bloodshot can be deep, you know, it could be deep, have a lot of deep stuff. And hasn't had much of that. So that was an action-packed issue where Bloodshot stops a bunch of mercs from smuggling in goods and killing a woman and daughter in the crates. It gives some backstory on the character for new readers. We have Sarah and the Royal Stars, number one and two. This is from Vault Comics. Sarah and her family defend her home against an evil uncle. Sarah gets injured and later has to go on a quest to meet the gods. She meets up with a bull god that teaches her some magic. Later, they find Sarah's family has been captured by the evil uncle and his family. We have the Traveler from T-Pub. This one, I believe, also was a Kickstarter. They released number one, and then I think the whole trade came out as a Kickstarter, and I bought that. This is a no. I know what happened. I posted that I couldn't find it, and it was never finished. And then Aaron Bell from the Nerdy Legion came to the rescue and said, "I supported the Kickstarter, and guess what? I have two copies." And he didn't want to take anything for it, but I paid him at least for shipping. But he said that it came in damaged, and then he told the people at a convention that it was damaged. They give him a brand new copy, and then he sent me the damaged copy, even though the damaged copy is pretty damn nice, in my opinion. This is a Russian boy loses his father to war and mother to alcohol from depression. Later in life, he tends to a sinking ship. He kills his sheep. I meant tends to sinking ship. Sickened sheep. He kills his sheep and then is going to finally kill himself when a time jumper shows up just randomly. And he shoots the time jumper. He gets his technology on this adventure, and it always ends up in a war situation. So as he's jumping, he's like, okay, there's war here, there's war here, there's war there. He finally has to take him, the time traveling source, as he is dying from something. He's got like some kind of cancer or something. But he goes to the source of the jumping. This issue, the next one, is from Viz. Very important because I don't like manga. I've historically not liked manga. I got a free comic book day, and it actually got me to read manga. And now I'm actually looking at previews and picking a new manga every month, at least one. So this one was The Drifting Classroom and Smashed. Junji Ito Halloween Special. This one here is a story of a school that loses contact with the outside world. And then Smashed is an Ito story of a family that loses the father and mother that were injured in a car, you know, like to gang activity. They were basically on a vacation, and the father and mother got murdered by a motorcycle gang. The lead gang member then gets the death penalty, and that gang member is haunting the boy and girl that were in the car with their parents. Really interesting. I liked them both. It caused me to buy The Drifting Classroom, which I read volume one already. I ordered volume two. They're in hardcover. I think they consist of like six really mangas. They're really big, like thousands of pages. And let me just check my phone. A note from Verizon. A note from my friend Shane talking about the fires because I asked him about it in Australia. It's crazy over there. And then something I should probably read about my cousin Marcos. which is probably gonna make me a ball from his daughter. And his daughter did send me a friend request today, and I accepted. I don't accept too many people on Facebook anymore. I get a lot of requests, but I kind of want to keep that to like my close friends and family. When I was originally on Facebook, I was like, "Hey, everybody, I want to extend," but now I use that Twitter for that. So, where was I? Yeah, it got me to buy Smashed. I haven't read that yet. And what else did I buy? I bought Death Note Black, Volume 1 from Viz. So Viz got some of my business, and then I have a few more manga on order. I am going to get in the next previews Ménage à Trois, because I hear really good things from James from the comic book page. And based on his experience with manga, he has my interest because he's got more experience but doesn't seem as invested into some people that are all into manga. So it's a good thing for me to listen to what he has to say because he was like combing on the outskirts. At least that's what it sounds like to me. We have Red Winter from Scout, an ex-cop from the U.S., finds himself working for a Russian boss in Moscow. That boss has one of his strongholds invaded and hires an ex-cop to find out who the enemy is. At this point in time, it looks like it is the boss's son. So the boss that hired him, it looks like it's his son that went and killed all the people, is trying to stir up things within the family, I guess, for power. Really good issue, 4 out of 5 again. Coffin Bound number 1. This issue I liked a lot more than the next issue, but we'll see. It's artistic. I like the artistic and the creation of the world more than the writing, which is very unusual for me. But Izzy lives with this weird vulture creature in his dystopian future, and then a strip club owner puts a hit on her and hires an Earth Eater to kill her. This is a strange strip club where the woman actually strips off her skin. The strip club owner decides to stop the Earth Eater from killing her, but the Earth Eater causes a quake to swallow the strip club owner and his man up. Izzy meets up with her gay lover. That sexually it seems like it's a woman, but later on I'm not sure. Maybe it's a he she. I don't know. It's very ambiguous in the art style, but I think in the issue 2 I thought it was a he, but in issue 1 I thought it was a she. So maybe it's a he she. I don't know, because in issue 2 they do have sex, but it still wasn't clear to me. So we have Red Sonja and Vampirella Meet Betty and Veronica number 1 and 2. Oh, I need to get more credit for Dynamite. I just got credit for 1, so that's 4 Dynamite. It's a total of 17 comics. There is a bloodthirsty cult across dimensions, and Red Sonja and Vampirella find the last location at Riverdale, so they're tracking them. Many teachers are getting killed, and Betty and Veronica team up with Red Sonja and Vampirella to take down the cult. Red Sonja joins the Riverdale football team. Marauders number 1, is another 4 out of 5. This is a Marvel comic. Kitty, this is probably my favorite Marvel launched book from the X-Men. Kitty can't get through the gates of Krakoa for some reason, which seems weird because she can phase through anything. So that's a mystery. Emma wants to recruit Kitty for a position, basically distributing the Krakoa seeds and the healing things, and do it via boat because she has to travel to Krakoa via boat because she can't teleport in or out. The group takes down some Russians who are blocking mutants from entering the gate. A woman is saying one of the Gates took her husband, and Bishop is investigating that particular case. Pyro is back alive. Iceman, Pyro, Bishop, Emma Frost, Kitty, and Storm make up the rest of the group who retrieve mutants that can't enter the gates. So it's like helping the people that can't get to the gates for whatever reason. And also, I think Kitty's second job is to distribute the drugs. We have X-Men number one. The X-Men take down the last Orchis strongholds on Earth. Later, Scott and his entire family celebrate on the moon. Meanwhile, the members of Orchis are regrouping, and we find out that Dr. Gregor is trying to bring her husband back because the X-Men killed her. Killed him in Powers of X, or maybe House of X. I can't remember which one. I think it's House of X, because it happened in current time. Let's go with that. We have Dead End Kids from Source Point Press. Four kids have a troubled home life, but find the peace in friendship. That's a good way to describe the book. One confrontation on the ice with a landowner and a drug attack lead Ben to getting killed. He's one of the kids. He is the son of the parent who will not forgive him because his wife died in childbirth, basically blames the kid, the son, for that. The female teen has a mom who seems to be preparing for the apocalypse, like in a bunker. Another kid who is so broke, and both parents are working two jobs to feed just the family. And another who has foster parents. The kids have to go find out who murdered their friend because it is ruled an accidental death. We have Dark Age, number one and two. This is the last 4 out of 5. A father and his daughter are eating lunch when the pregnant mother, when one day all metal vanishes and just the whole world goes to shit. During the event, the mother dies and we think the baby survives. A cut to 13 years later when the father is training the son, but the son does not want to kill. There are cannibals that are attacking and capture the father and son, but the daughter rescues them. They go warn one of the Native American tribes that the cannibals are coming farther north and have a way to make guns. They're making like plastic guns. Later, the father goes to burn the mausoleum of his dead wife, and we find the child did die. This kid they are training is not his son. The daughter also has a heart transplant. And when the metal vanished, she needs drugs to basically keep her alive. Such a great first issue and second issue. I really, the more I think about it, this really deserved a 5 out of 5, but we'll go with what I did at the time. Ruby Falls, number one. This is a lesbian woman who lives in Ruby Falls, hangs out with her divorced parents. One was a butcher and the mother is a bartender. She likes hanging out with her grandmother who has dementia, and the grandmother tells a realistic story of murder, and she feels the need to investigate that murder. Her parents don't want her to see her grandmother anymore because her grandmother gets all stressed out every time she visits. That was the 5 out of 5. We then get into October 28th through 11/3. For that week, we had 32 comics, 2 Valiant, 11 Marvel, 1 Image, 18 DC. The movie of the week, we had Terminator Dark Fate, rated a 4 out of 5, which means I really liked it. We then get into the 3 out of 5s, which means I just liked it. Bloodshot number 2 from Valiant, General Grail and Edian go after Bloodshot with her powers, is able to make his nanities. So they form, I don't even know what I wrote there. They go after Bloodshot with their powers and is able to make his nanites so they can form and deform his body. Sometimes I write these things up and I'm like in a half daze because I'm sleepy as hell. Absolute Carnage, Scream number one. Carnage kills everyone, but the symbiote attaches to Andy Benton to become the new Scream. She heals and escapes Carnage. So that's kind of an important thing for the new upcoming ongoing of Scream. We have Absolute Carnage, The Avengers number one. Cap Spidey Thing and Wolverine fight Carnages from ripping out their spines because they have the Codex because they've had a symbiote in their body before. Hawkeye does the same in San Francisco. They use the device created by the evil Reed to remove the Codex safely. Green Lantern number 9 through 12. This is DC Comics. 3 out of 5. The multiverse adventure where they gather forces to take out the anti-modern universe. Hal Quaman, which is like a antimatter Hal Jordan. The Black Stars are behind the whole fiasco. There is also a World Eater that is defeated by the Lanterns, and some multiverse stuff begins. Morrison created a lot of new GL Green Lanterns from the world. My favorite is the hippie GL. Yeah, he is so cool. Ambush Bug from DC Comics Volume 1. Read this on the app. I wanted to revisit something I didn't like when I read it back in the day. And I liked it a 3 out of 5. Ambush Bug and his toy doll take on the Republican terrorists. Sounds very pertinent. He saves the day and then orders a pizza to go home. When she shows up, Darkseid is in his apartment. We have the 4 out of 5's Absolute Carnage Lethal Protectors number 3. The Protectors take on Demon Goblin, who's a female now, and Man-Wolf, which Man-Wolf is also in that Black Panther Agents of Wakanda, so it's very confusing. Because he's working as a guard in the insane asylum prison. And then he's an agent of Wakanda. So I don't know. It's probably like nobody will notice this shit. Nobody reads either of these books. Well, I did. But it could happen at a different time, too. Didn't bother me too much. About 20 years ago, that would have... I would have thrown a little fit. I would have went, ah! Why is Radioactive Man a Russian in one comic and he's a Chinese guy in another? Ah! Oh, well. What else do we got? They rescue Misty Knight, and Man-Wolf gets control of himself again. Stars, Firestar, Cloak and Dagger, Iron Fist, Morbius, and Deathlok. That's a three-issue series, and that was number 3. We got Absolute Carnage versus Deadpool number 3. Carnage tries to rip out Wade's spine, but Spider-Man to the rescue. Later, Wade attaches... This one's pretty funny, actually. Attaches a bomb to his spine, so when Norman Osborn Carnage comes after him to rip out the spine, he explodes. Spider-Man feels he has to nurse Wade back to health until his legs grow back. Ghost Spider number 3, Gwen's friend in college is spying on her for Jackal. Jackal is teaming up with Man-Wolf on the alternate Earth. So again, Man-Wolf is having another appearance. Absolutely fascinating, because these are sort of comic books that are coming out in the same time, except this one is a Man-Wolf that's happening on the Spider-Gwen world. And right now, Spider-Gwen can jump worlds. She's going to college on our world while she ports back and visits her father and does things as Spider-Gwen on her world. So there we go. Strike Force number 2. The group goes to Satana in Vegas to tell her why they actually killed her brother Hellstrom. Storm. They bring him back, but Wiccan is overtaken by a shape-changing alien and goes after Hulkling. We got Journey to Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, Allegiance 1 through 4. Following the end of the movie, the rebels have no alien... allies or supplies. And now that I've seen the movie, you don't get the desperation where the previous movie, where Skywalker died, and it looked like the rebels were sending out help things and nobody was coming. You don't really get that until midpoint in the movie. But Poe and Finn go to the remote planet looking for weapons and are being chased by bounty hunters. Rey, Leia, and Cetra go on a political mission to Admiral Ackbar's world to get help. That makes sense because at the opening of the movie, you have the, you know, Poe and Finn, and then Rey and Leia are sort of training, but it looks like before that, they were on a political mission to try to get Admiral Ackbar's world to help. The First Order is destroying any worlds that even talk to the rebels, so they are not welcomed by the Admiral Ackbar's, creatures. Circumstances lead the world of Ackbar to form another alliance with the rebels. And you don't really see that in the movie. You see a Ackbarian-looking alien, but you don't see a lot of them. And from this comic, which was a prequel, it makes you think that they hated the rebels initially, and there was a guy that was trying to kill them and make them look bad because he had those motives, like he wanted to protect his world, and he thought that if they sided with the rebels, they'd all die. But it played in well, except it didn't really, like, manifest that world coming to battle for the rebels. Yeah, we saw a few of them celebrating with the Ewoks, but, oh well. Still an interesting read. We got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 1 from Image Comics. I had no interest in buying this until I went on an Eric Larson buying frenzy, and I realized he inked this one, and he inked the first few issues, and then I was like, I'm interested in this now. So it is in the celebrations of the Turtles' B-Day with birthday with Splinter, they get attacked by a ninja woman and replicating ninja robots. Rap's face gets burned, Donnie gets captured but escapes, and Splinter is captured. We have House of Mystery from DC Comics 174-175. A witch's cauldron over time helps a bunch of different people, including the guy who creates a steam engine. A guy is having all kinds of good luck, and he has to turn down 3 items before he gets his true reward, which is love. A professor discovers a museum of worthless inventions. An accident causes the inventions to become real, and he helps out others. A town politician uses fact monsters to keep the... fact monsters? I don't know what I meant by that. Uses fact monsters to keep the town in control. A man gets a cursed diamond that will cause his death unless he gives that diamond to someone else. He tries to get rid of it, but he can't. A man is cursed and no one likes him, and the guy tries to help him, finds out he's an umpire. That was interesting. That was a prose story. An umpire like a baseball umpire. Yeah, that was interesting. A French artist is haunted by gargoyles because he stole an artist's idea and has haunted him until his death. So there's a bunch, it's like an anthology, a bunch of stories, all very entertaining. Hawkman 13 through 17 from DC Comics. I think we talked about this on the DC Spotlight. This is 13 through 17. Hawkman loses his shadow to a nearly powered shadow thief. He goes to get help from the Shade. Yep, the Shade from Starman. Then eventually overcomes the shadow thief, and Carter almost kills him. Shade has to stop him from killing Shadow Thief. At the end, Hawkman becomes Sky Tyrant. Issue 13 was pretty cool because it was the Groundhog Day issue of War, where Carter kept reliving a war over and over again in different time periods until he made peace with Shayera. He was actually fighting her. We have Swordmaster number 4. Lin Li learns about the Protectors, Nuwa, Fuk, Zai, and Shen Nong from Zhai, the descendant of Nuwa. She is concerned because she does not believe Lin has what it takes. They are at the brink of the end of the world because he took the sword he freed from the demons, and an unholy alliance is made with Ares, that's the backup story, to find his father. If Swordmaster and Shang-Chi help him find one of his kids, that's Ares' kids, who is a real live dragon. We have Killers number 3. This is from Valiant Comics. Ninja J forms an unholy alliance with Snapdragon as they are fighting on a plane before it blows up. Ninja G and Ninja F are teamed up to go to the high ground looking for the master and little girl when attacked by military helicopters. They find out that the plane's because of Ninja E, who shows up in the end. So that's a 4 out of 5. Those were all 4 out of 5s from Absolute Carnage, Lethal Protectors, all the way up to Killers. And then we get to the 5 out of 5s. Green Lantern number 7. So we have something that I rated a 3 all the way up to a 5. This one particular issue, Hal tries to survive while he's inside his own ring. So it was visually stunning, and I needed to give it a 5 out of 5 just because the Liam Sharps just blew my mind. But plus, I love the concept of Hal surviving within his ring. We have Hawkman 8 through 12. Hawkman, so that one bumped up in the earlier issues by Venditti. And then as the series ended that arc, it started to go into the 4 out of 5s. But Hawkman visits Krypton and his other self to get a weapon to destroy the Deathbringers. The machine is too big and not ready, but the Kryptonian Hawk is not ready. Back on Earth, the Doombringers arrive with their leader. He is the champion of the Carters and is used to be a Deathbringer. Idam is leading the Deathbringers, and things don't look good until Carter realizes he can call upon all the Hawkmen through time and space to fight the Deathbringers. So that's an interesting power and thing that happened in Hawkman. Very important. So, yeah, I talked about that. That was 32 comics, 2 Valiant, 11 Marvel, 1 Image, and 18 DC. And then the final week that we're covering, there were only 11 comics. There was one movie, Midway. I don't know if this was my second time or the first time, because I've seen it twice. I loved it. I gave it a 4 out of 5, even though it's like creeping up on the 5 out of 5s, because damn, it was good. That's why I saw it again. We have 2 Kickstarters, 2 IDWs, 1 Floating World Comics, 1 DC, 2 Boundless, 2 Boom, and 1 Absolute. We'll start at the bottom. There were only 4 out of 5s and 5 out of 5s, which is a good thing. We have Revenger, Halloween 2019. Revenger tries to rescue a child who has become a vampire. She destroys a whole building full of vampires. It's almost like a video game. Got a Sister Mercy number 1. This is a Kickstarter. A warrior nun tries to protect the nunnery from a post-apocalyptic road warriors led by a bishop. And they capture the lead sister. We have Unholy Onyx versus Argent from Boundless. It sets the stage for 2 sexy females that have to give, who have been given abilities to fight. Shows how they were treated by the military organization and made warriors. A lot of sex in this book. More story about how the lead Miss Fortuna and how she makes this hybrid creature soldiers for military purposes. One scientist tries to ask for help from Onyx. So it's an interesting book because they're sort of related. But the whole part with Miss Fortuna is really interesting part of the story. Age of Conan, Valeria, number 1. This book is really good. I really like it. Somebody challenged me on Twitter and said, how could you like this garbage? It's not even from the material. I guess he's read the prose that came out of the pulp magazines. And I said I enjoyed this comic, and I know nothing about that pulp. So maybe if I was attached to it, it would have affected me somehow, but I enjoyed it quite a bit. It gives a story about how Valeria and her whole family, and lastly her brother that was taking care of her, to a strange hooded beating. That doesn't make any sense, but what it is essentially saying is her brother raised Valeria, and her brother was murdered, and then she has to find out who this strange hooded character is. She finds herself seeking vengeance on that particular creature because she thinks it killed her brother at this point. We have Something is Killing the Children, number one. A boy recalls how his friends were slaughtered, many kids are missing, and there is a strange woman trying to find out who or what is killing the children. You Are Obsolete, number one and two. That is. Something is killing. I didn't count Aftershock in here. I didn't give myself credit. Is that Something is Killing the Children? Aftershock. We need to add two. And we need to add Boom. Actually, I got those Boom. Oh, shit. I forgot I have a touch screen. So we're just going to add two to the total. There were really 13. Let's do a save. I'm going to lose this information. You Are Obsolete. A famous reporter is disgraced and later asked to go to a small island run by very creepy kids like Children of the Corn. And we still don't know why. From Absolute Comics, we have White Widow number three. White Widow finds out there's another person that wears a suit like hers. She is a bad person, but is leading her to believe otherwise. In other words, there's somebody else that she finds might have similar powers and let her help her uncover some of her past. But later on, you learn that that person that she might be entrusting or trying to get friendship from is really a bad person. We have Ambush Bug number two. So this moved from a 3 out of 5 to a 4 out of 5. Ambush Bug takes on the cuteness and DC continuity. That's why I liked it. DC continuity. Plus, we get Ambush Bug Guide to Collecting Comics, which is really funny. I posted it on Twitter. We had Mafiosa. It's a Kickstarter. Number one, a girl grows up in a mafia-like family and really wants to be part like her brother. In the future, she finds herself in that role. We have the 5 out of 5s. Pandemica from IDW. Some mysterious organization is creating viral outbreaks and only targeting the poor, borders, and various races. One rich guy is forming a group to uncover this conspiracy. Hit enter there so it's not. We have Napoleon Dynamite number one from IDW. Napoleon sees guidance counselor about his future. A recount is demanded for the election because of the election fraud. Uncle Rico is selling hot sauce, and a podcast team is trying to determine if the city official was murdered instead of an accidental death. This sounds so Napoleon Dynamite. The people that wrote this comic, it was very much written for fans of Napoleon Dynamite. The art style, very good for characters like Napoleon Dynamite. 5 out of 5 to Napoleon Dynamite and Pandemica number one. Again, there were 13 comics that week. And we're going to stop there. We're going to go over the 5 out of 5s. Pandemica number one, IDW. Napoleon Dynamite number one, IDW. DC Comics brought us Green Lantern number 7 and Hawkman 8 through 12, 5 out of 5s. And finally, the other 5 out of 5 was from Dark Horse, Ruby Falls number 1. I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for putting up with my banter and depression. And sometimes talking through it get me in a better mood. Now I'm probably going to go read that post that Barb sent me and I'll break out crying again. But I hope you all have a happy 2020. Life gets back to reality next week for me, as I only have 4 days to work because I have to go down on the funeral. and I need to work 7 days, so I gotta try to cram 7 days into 4 days. So we'll see how that goes. I might be so tired, I might just fall asleep at work, but it's gonna be crazy. And hopefully over the next 2 weeks, things after 2 weeks go by, things get back to some normalcy and regularity as far as my podcasting and me getting back into groove. I want to thank you for listening. You can always send me questions at mike@comicbooknoise.com. If there are detailed questions and stuff I can discuss on the show, let me know. Or any comments you want to send me, email's a good way to do it. If you want to tell me something that requires more than what Twitter will allow. On Twitter, I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. That's probably the best way to get a hold of me. You can always tweet questions there, and I'll answer them on this show and give you credit for them. On the website, it's Geek Brunch Podcast. You can leave a comment there. As soon as I upload like two, three a week, so I'll see your comment and approve it if it's a legit comment, not spam, and I'll comment it on the show. Check out DC Everything Else Podcast, the DC Spotlight Podcast, Mike M's Weekly Reads, Geek Brunch Podcast, Geek Brunch Retrocast, and look forward to talking to you in the new year. Take care and peace out.